journey.
Oh, yes, we do.
And we are blessed to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen.
Amen.
I was thinking about so many things crossed my mind, but I just thank God for blessing us to make it through the year. We talked about some things. I want to say something based on what we have been talking about in general throughout the year. Last year, you know, for you who may not know, we talked most of the year about learning to love like Jesus. And we had a lesson this morning in Sunday school, in case you weren't there. I just want to brief you. Talking about the parable of the sower. And Jesus explained that to his disciples. And he let them know that the word of God is the seed. And it must be sown. And it's sown in the whole world. And the whole world, all the people, are the soil. See? And he said that, talked about the hearts of the receipt of the word of God. He said that the word that was sown went out, and it was sown, and some fell by the wayside, and some fell on stony ground, and some fell among the thorns and the thistle, and then some fell on good soil, and it produced some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. So he's talking about the productivity of God's word. And the fact that it's equal to everybody. The seed was the same everywhere. See, but the way it was received was different everywhere it went. See what I'm saying? But the seed abides because those who trust God learn to walk by faith. And I said that to say that what we sowed last year, the love of how to love like Jesus, has been implanted in the soil of your heart. Now that harvest has not come in yet. So that's why we stay ahead. We're always teaching ahead of where our spiritual growth is taking us. See, when you sow that seed, you can't go out there tomorrow and pluck corn off the stalk. That doesn't work like that. You gotta sow it and give it a time and give it a season. And some things like fruit trees won't produce fruit for 3 years. So the words you've been hearing, it's very important to keep on sowing. That's the point I want to make. You got to keep on sowing. Just keep sowing, and the Bible promises that whatever you sow, you shall also reap. Come on now. Somebody in here knows the word of God. See, when you sow, you will reap in due time.
Yes.
See, now when the seed is on bad soil, it won't produce at all. And he talked about that. We hope that that won't be anybody under the sound of our voice.
Amen.
We hope that when you hear the word, you will allow God to make the adjustments in your life. And this is the reason why we need to talk this year. I'm still talking about the year because we're still in January. We said we were going to talk about living life in the spirit. Now I think this is going to be fertilizer for the seed that was planted last year.
Come on now.
And it's going to help produce a crop to the glory of God before the year is over. See? And so we bring these things together, and we want you to understand that sometimes weeds and things pop up in the midst of the seed. He told that one a little later. We haven't talked about that. See? Yet. But there will be some weeds in there. But what he said is, you and I don't have the ability to determine who the weeds are. So you leave them alone. Let them grow together. He said, because I'm going to pluck them out and deal with them when the time comes. And that's not your duty. You don't worry about it. You might accidentally pull up the good seed. Pull up the good crop. See? So we don't want to do that. We want to invite every person to come in and hear God's word. No matter what you're dealing with, what you're going through, God loves you.
Oh, yes, he does.
And he will strengthen you and empower you to do his will if you keep trusting him.
Yes.
Amen. And he doesn't do it because we're so good.
Nope.
You know, I thought about this when I was thinking about that parable. Dirt is dirt.
Come on now. Make it plain.
Let that sink in. Dirt is dirt. You know what God is saying? There's a bigger message in there. You know where he started when we got here? Dirt. He said, I made man in my own image, in my own likeness. That's before he touched the dirt. Then it says he formed Adam from the dust of the ground.
That's right.
Then he took his image and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. See that? So that you're talking about seed, that goes way back in the Word. See? And he breathed, that's the breath of God.
Yes.
You know what else you can see? If you're in the Spirit, that's why we're talking about spiritual perception. It's almost like I'm bringing you up out of the dirt. Is that a picture of resurrection somewhere?
Yes.
Even though he ain't died. In him is life, it says. But I'm breathing life into the dirt, which I raised up from the ground. See? You know what? He didn't do that for everything else. He just spoke and it was. But when he made man, let us make man in our image. You know what? God doesn't have a physical image. The word says no man has seen God at any time. See? So we have not seen him, but he breathed that image into the dirt. Then he rose up from the ground. And he became a living soul. So all men are seeds of Adam. Because we all were born. None of us came up out the dirt. We were born into the world.
Yes, we were.
See, that's why he said it's not good that man should be alone.
Yes.
You got to make a way for him to reproduce.
Yes.
You know why? Because I told him to be fruitful and multiply. I gave him seed, but no garden to plant it in. So I got to fix that. And so woman was the product of God saying, it's not good that man should be alone. Why? Because I got promises attached to what I told him to do. To be fruitful and multiply. And he's got to have a way to do that.
That's right.
And I'm going to say this, and I don't mean to be offensive, so I hope it's not offensive to anybody, but there is a standard.
All right.
God has what we want to call normal.
Yeah. All right.
Nobody ever got here any other way than that which was normal. So you know what man does? He tries to make other ways. Oh, well, there was evolution. No, who do you know don't have a belly button? I'm going to get off my soapbox in a minute. Everybody I ever seen got a navel. That means you've been born.
Yes.
That you were attached to your mother's in her womb.
Yes.
I ain't never seen no monkey. He's a monkey got a belly button.
All right.
When I look at him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was born.
Yes.
So that goes on and on throughout the mammal kingdom and all the other things that God made.
Yes.
There is a standard.
Yes.
And the church shouldn't be ashamed of the standard that God has set.
Amen.
You know what? I don't want God, when I come up, there's a lot he could be ashamed of about me. I'm going to be honest. Because I don't do everything quietly.
All right.
All the time.
All right.
I try. I'm trying to do the very best I can. But I have become short so many times.
Yes.
See? So you know what? I want God to be as true to his word.
Yeah.
True to his promise.
Yeah.
Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me before men, I'm going to be ashamed of you when you come before my Father who is in heaven and his holy angels. So I don't want him to say, oh, I'm ashamed of you. You know? And he said, but if you speak my name.
Yes.
Speak my word.
Yes.
You know, before men, then I will cover you on the day of judgment.
Bible.
See, so I don't have to worry about it when I come before God.
Because
I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. He said to the Jew first. Now you know that parable was given, and I'm not teaching the Sunday school lesson. I'm going to get to this one in a minute. But it was given because, understand this, there was some audience out there that were hearing the same thing his disciples heard. And they said, well, we don't believe you. Who you think you are? That was the foul coming down to take it away from the Jews who heard it and said, well, you know what, we need to get rid of you. That's our reaction to what you said. Who do you think you are? Who does this man think he is? Coming in here adjusting everything that we talked. See what I mean?
Yes.
There's some people who won't hear the word. And God's heart is broken when you won't listen to his word.
Oh, yes, it is.
When you won't hear what he has to say, his heart is broken.
Right.
Because he loves you and he wants you to be saved.
Yes, he does.
But we have to do it his way.
Yeah.
I didn't write the book, he wrote it.
Yeah.
And I said all that to bring us to our lesson today. This year, our theme is living life in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We need to learn to live life walking by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is supplemental to what we studied last year in much detail. And we won't be able to do what we studied unless we learn how to live life walking in the Spirit. You won't be able to do it. You know why? Because Jesus said this, John 6:63, the flesh profits nothing. It is the Spirit that gives life. He said, the words that I speak to you, they are Spirit. You hear that? The words that I speak to you, they are Spirit. And they are life. You know, all the words you say, I'm going to flip that around for a minute so you can understand it. Every word anybody says is Spirit. Why? Because you can't see it. It comes out of the breath that you breathe. It's going through the air. You have to translate or understand it. Amazing thing, I gave you ears to receive it. He said, that's why he kept saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And he says it all through Revelation 7 times. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. See, God is always speaking and he always wants us to be listening. See, and you can listen and still not hear what he said. That's what that parable is about. You can be listening and it can go right over your head if you don't receive it in your heart. So who is it that makes it possible for us to receive that word into our heart? That's the reason why we must study this year, living life in the Spirit. Amen. It is the Spirit that blesses us to understand the word of God. And so we want to learn to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. So there are times, and I'm just going to mention this to y'all, if this don't apply to you, praise the Lord. But this is why the verse that we mention so much and so often, it comes from Solomon here. As you'll see it on your sheet if you got a handout when you came in. If not, turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5, this is one of our favorite passages around here.
Oh, yes, it is.
And Brother Frank mentioned it that we spoke on this last week. He spoke on it
this morning.
This morning and last week, because there was a person here and that I knew, he didn't know, and that person loves this verse, and he got to the end of the service, and he said, I just feel led to go here. And he went right to the verse they love. And it was amazing to me. I said, oh, okay, because I know he don't know her, because I know him and I know her. And I know them from two different parts of life. And he spoke exactly what she needed to hear. So we speak it again today. It was already, you know, I want to let you know this. I had this lesson written last week already. So it was really freaking me out. From another perspective, the fact, okay, why he brought, this is where we're going. And we already jumped ahead here. So that's how I know the Holy Spirit works all kinds of things together. So he says here, Solomon, wisest man that ever lived. Don't let nobody fool you. They might want to tell you it's Plato or it's Aristotle or Socrates. God said it's Solomon in his word. And see, you and I need to just speak his word. If you speak his word, you're going to be all right. Let me tell you. You may not get treated right. But just like Jesus spoke his word, what did they do to him? He got crucified. But he didn't back down. He spoke and said, go ahead, because he already knew they weren't crucifying. So if you had checked, you would have found out, I wrote it down already. Exactly what you're going to do. And you fulfilled it blow by blow, every little bit of everything I said. That's to show you that the word is true. I already knew what you were going to do. See, that's why he was explaining to his disciples, when you hear the word, it's going to bless you. Now, Proverbs, God said Solomon is the most wise man. Who was before him or after him? So don't let nobody tell you. We got some folk now think they're very smart. But you're not smarter than Solomon. Solomon knew more than you. He had more wisdom than you. You might have more knowledge, but he had more wisdom. Paul said knowledge puffs up. But love edifies. It builds up. See? So love is important. Now let's read what Solomon said. King Solomon, writer of the Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. So thy barns shall be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as the Father the Son in whom he delighteth. That's the word of the Lord from the old covenant to the people of the Lord. May God bless the hearing and the reading of his holy word. And New Testament, the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 4:14. Let's read. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's the old covenant of the Lord. To the people of the Lord, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And this installment of our study on living life in the Holy Spirit, in other words, walking by the Spirit and not by the flesh, walking by faith and not by sight, is called spiritual perception of godly correction. Spiritual perception of godly correction. Now, what is this speaking of? There has to be adjustments. We looked at this because we studied a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about it a little last week. King David, who was blessed to be the king of Israel.
Oh, yes.
And he consolidated all the tribes, brought the nation under unification, all the 12 tribes of Israel under David. Yeah. And he ruled over them for 30 years. He was the anointed one that God chose when the people selected their own king, King Saul, because he looked the best. He had that game and that rap, and he knew how to talk, and he was head and shoulders above everybody else, and he looked so nice. Oh, we want this one here to stand before us. That's how people do. That's the difference between choosing a leader in the flesh or choosing one in the spirit.
Alright,
so God said, go ahead, have y'all way. And they got Saul. He was the biggest loser they ever picked.
Oh, yes he was.
Stuck his foot all in all kinds of other stuff, deviated from what God said, didn't do things God's way. Told Samuel, oh, I just thought you wasn't going to make it, so I went on and made the sacrifice. Didn't I tell you to destroy all the enemies, everything? He said, yeah. He said, well, why do I hear the bleeding of the sheep and the goats and the lamb? What is all that? Oh, we saved the best for God. See, but that's not what I told you. See what I'm saying? And he told him, don't you know obedience is better than sacrifice? And to heed than the fat of rams? You know what? It's better if we just do what God says than we need to make a sacrifice.
Amen.
It's better not to need to make a sacrifice. You know, because if you didn't sin, maybe you don't need to make a sacrifice. But the fact that we need a sacrifice means that we have transgressed the Lord.
Right.
See, it's better for us if we don't have to. But God knew that you and I wouldn't be able to make it unless he covered us.
That's right.
But he gave that provision to hold his people under the understanding that it's necessary for sacrifice. Why? Because you broke my law.
Right.
See? And he does it so that there can be some sympathy. Imagine this, like he told them when they were in the land of Egypt. He said, what I need you to do is make this day that I'm telling you about the first day of your year. This is the beginning of the year for you. What you do, get an unspotted lamb.
Right.
He can be a male, and it must come from the sheep or the goats, either one. See? And unblemished, without a spot.
Yeah.
And you bring him in and you slay him.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what that did to the family? The kids bring him in. He had to stay with you for several days before he was put to death. And they latched on. Oh, we love him. He's great. He's the best. Then what are you doing? Oh, I'm going to slash his throat. Oh, why? Why does he have to die? Everybody would ask the question. And he said, because the Lord God said, we need the blood to cover for our sins. He was showing them without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin.
Yes.
See, he was showing that someone innocent who hasn't done anything has to die in your place. And we need to take the blood, strike the lintel and the doorposts with the blood after we roast the lamb. Remember that? Exodus 12. Then when the angel of death comes over, he'll see the blood, he'll skip your house. He'll pass over. See what I'm saying? That's where that term, the Passover, came from. So this is a spiritual thing. It's transmitting information to the next generation. The kids were broken to pieces when they saw that lamb kick, bleed, and die. What's he dying for? Why you have to kill him? Because we sinned against the Lord. Every time they went to the temple and a sacrifice was made, it had a great impression on them spiritually. They understood that sin causes death. It's worthy of death. But God is gracious and he allows a substitute to die in my place. See, so every time they saw that, they learned every year because they were commanded to go to the temple three times a year and make a sacrifice before the Lord your God. So this was teaching them a spiritual principle in their mind. It was also passing it through the generations so that they would understand. Solomon comes along 30 years after David. He's the son of David. Now, we talked about this. Let me back up the train. This little David, even though he was selected to be the king, he didn't do everything right. He had a time of stumbling in his life.
Yes, he did.
And that's what I want to talk about just a little today, is how did that time of stumbling enter into the king's life? The anointed psalmist, who was responsible for a good many of the 150 psalms that we have in the Bible, how did he get stuck up in sin? What happened? We talked about it a little last week. He got into it. Next thing you know, sin has a captivating, a clutch that it can hold us with.
Oh, yes.
You get into it, and sometimes it gets a hold on you. Next thing you know, your mind is off the spiritual. And you may be spiritual, you may still go through the motions, but there's something else in your heart that is latched on to sin. God knows that.
Yes.
He sent Nathan, remember that, to go to David after he had been stuck in sin a long time. His sin kept snowballing and went from lust to adultery to murder in a short period of time. Everybody saw it but him. Isn't that something? People around you, they probably won't tell you, that Douglas, you over there talking all that. And then they behind your back cutting you down. See what I'm saying? So everybody knew but him. He was the one needed the hip boots put on him. So what God did, he said, I know he's a spiritual man. He's hung up in sin. He sent Nathan,
yes,
a brother in the Lord, to tell him a parable like what we had this morning. The parable puts, what it means is to lay one thing alongside of another to compare these two things. In the parable we looked at this morning, it was comparing the soils and how they receive the seed, which is talking about the human heart and how God's word is received, which is the seed. In this case, Nathan said, David, let me tell you about a man. And he told him a story about a man who was rich and had everything and all that, you know, and a poor man over here. So the comparison is between the rich man and the poor man. The poor man only had one lamb. The rich man said he had company coming. Now get his lamb. Why should I sacrifice mine? Now get his. Go over there and get that one out of his house, butchered and feed, prepared for my guest. David said, oh, that's awful. That man needs to die. Nathan said, David, you are the man. So he brought David into an understanding. What you're doing is not right. You don't even see it. Sometimes sometimes we get stuck in a sinful habit, we don't see it. We keep on cruising. God ain't gonna strike us with lightning. Just because he don't strike you with lightning doesn't mean I don't know what you're doing. So God knows that we need correction from time to time, just like David. Now what we talked about in the previous lessons, I'm saying this for the benefit of people who may not have been here, but you can hear those lessons online if you go online. David, once he understood what happened and how messed up he had been before God, he repented.
Yes.
Yeah.
That means I changed my mind about that. Oh, that was awful. I turned around and it was the spiritual perception of God's correction that got him on the right track again.
Yes.
And made him write that psalm, Psalms 51, that we looked at a couple of weeks back. Oh, Lord, cleanse me from all my iniquity. I was born in sin and shaped iniquity. He started to tell the whole story. How did I get where I could be stuck in sin? And I know I love you. No, I don't want to transgress against you. So how did I end up here? He said, behold, I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. He said, my nature is bent, Lord, and I'm twisted. But I need you to create in me a clean heart. You know what? God had to show him how ugly it was in order to correct him. And now he understood. We don't have a record of David doing that anymore in the Bible. So God corrected him. He's corrected me on a bunch of stuff. I'm not going to tell you. Beat the day down with giving you my rap sheet. But he probably did it to you. You know why? Because he loves you. And he understands what you're dealing with. And if it needs to be fixed, he knows it. And he loves you anyway. Look at this now. God never changes. He's not sitting up there vacillating back and forth. Do I love Loretta or not? Yes, I do. I love you all the time, he says. Whoever you are. If you're my child, I love you all the time. I don't ever change. When you get stuck in a pattern, that's you. They're stuck, and I have pity on you. So God the Spirit is the one, like he did in the case of David, who administers correction to us. So we need to have spiritual perception about how God corrects us. That's what the Proverbs writer says here, Solomon. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In other words, there's no area in your life you don't turn it over to God. Lean not to your own understanding, even if I don't understand it. I don't have to understand it. God said it, that settles it. Some people say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. No, that ain't right. No. If God said it, that settles
it. That's it. Amen.
You don't have to believe it. If you don't believe it, that don't change what God said. If you don't believe it, it's too bad for you. But God said it, that settles it. That's what it should say. See, so if he said it, we know it's right. And he didn't say it to hurt us. He's not trying to hurt you. He loves you. But he wants to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. So he says, trust him with all your heart. You don't even need to understand it. Don't lean on your own understanding. Turn your life over to him and say, I trust you, Lord, in everything. Notice in all thy ways, acknowledge him. If you do that, he will show you the way out and the way through. You know, otherwise you'll be stuck where you are. But and your God's not going to force you to do anything. He's not the God of force. He could. He's got all power. I could just say, okay, David, enough of that. Boom, strike you with lightning, you out of here. No, I love you. I never have changed. I want to get you straight and get you back on the right path, on the straight and narrow. So he says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he promises he will direct your path. You know what? This doesn't just mean in spiritual stuff and church stuff and all that. You know what it means? In your business, at your job, with your neighbors, in anything you're doing, in every part of your life. There shouldn't be any areas in your life you couldn't invite God into.
That's right.
If there is, check those areas.
Amen.
See what I'm saying? But God will show you how to get out.
Yes,
he will. He is able to do that. He wants to do that. But he doesn't want to force his relationship upon us. So we have to have spiritual perception when God is trying to correct us. And he's always, believe this, and I'm going to say this, put a pin here. If there is something in your life that's out of order, God is trying to correct it. And he does it how? By the hearing of his word. How does that work? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. He promises you. He gives you promises. He gives you his table where you can come and confess your sin. He said, I am faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And what the church, a lot of the church today would never, you never hear this message. Mm. Oh, you can't be talking about sin and judgment. You know what? I'm not going to redact God. If it's in here, it's fair game. And we need to hear it. He said, preach the whole counsel of God. That's what Paul told the Ephesian elders in Acts. He said, you know, I'm free from the blood of all men, for I have not, he says, I have not shunned to preach unto you the whole counsel of God. So you won't blame it on me in the day of judgment. You know, and it's not because he's trying to put a dark topic out there. It's that we need it.
Yeah.
We need it. I need it. I'm going to tell you, it's me too. God has brought me out of some dark places. You know, and I don't even realize how I got there either. That's the way sin can be. It'll get you into a dark place. You don't even know how I got here. You'll find that your flesh loves it.
That's right.
And doesn't want to give it up.
Won't give it up either.
But you need the light of God to come into your life.
Yes.
And light that up so you can see what he would have you to do. And you know what? He wants to do it, and he will. But he won't force his way on you. Now, but God will correct you. He will discipline you. Let's look at this. He says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. See that? Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. In other words, keep him involved even in your business activity, in your way of life, your job, your occupation, everything. Honor him with the first fruit. Let him know he's first in your life. So that thy barns shall be filled with plenty. He said, if you do that, I'll take care of your barns. I'll stack it up for you so you don't have to worry about it. But I just need to know you are willfully dealing with me and that you trust me in every area in life. And he says, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. That's a figure to say that the harvest back then, they didn't have good drinking water. You know, and they drank a lot of wine, which was basically grape juice. See, and he said, you just trust me and I'll have new wine. That means fresh grapes have been squeezed. That was the best wine. We would call it Welch's grape juice today. The new wine, fresh, right out the thing, not fermented or anything that would get you stoned. He said, but I'll make your presses burst forth with new wine. See, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. When God is trying to correct you, understand he's doing it because he loves you.
Yes.
Why? Because it says in verse 12, for whom the Lord loveth, he corrects it.
Yes.
Even as a father, the son in whom he delights.
Mm-hmm.
See? So God is being parental to us. He wants us to yield to his will. Yield to his word. Why? Because it's the best thing for you.
Yes, it is.
There's nothing better. The devil will tell you, oh, it's better for you to get it this way or get it that way. Or do this or that. See, he thinks I got some shortcuts. How are you going to get where you need to be? No. God says, do it my way. I'll bless you and your vats will overflow.
Yes.
See, and you know what? God says, and remember this, and I'm not teaching about giving so much, but that's a part of it too. In Malachi, he says to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. You know, because that was the way they supported the people of God's operations at the temple. The priests didn't have any land. They had no, like everybody else, have a segment of land. But the priests stayed around the temple with very little land enough to live on, but not enough to harvest crops and all that. And so he asked the rest of the tribes to support the priests. Why? Because they are my representatives. So we need to support the church.
Yes, amen.
You know, and most of our people do, I have to say. I thank God that most of the people here have been well taught, and we know that the church is critical. It's important. How will the lost be saved if the word is not preached? It's necessary that we preach the word. Why? Because we were commissioned by God to go and teach all the nations. See, and we're not calling on the government for that. See, it's the people of God who support the church. As always, from 2,000 years ago up until today. But God says, when you do that, I'm going to be in the midst blessing you. And you won't be able to out bless me. Prove me now in this. And see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't have room to receive.
You want to do it?
He said, I'll do it. Just try me and you'll find out. See? And so God is faithful to his word. So in this passage in Proverbs, Solomon reveals that there are many negative things that exist within each one of us which are the product of circumstances that we have endured in our course of development that need to be dealt with, that God and the Holy Spirit applies righteous pressure. Now, I just use that as a term. He applies righteous pressure. When you hear preaching in God's word, it puts a righteous pressure on your life to do the right thing. That's why you can't skip this, because it sounds negative. No, I need righteous pressure from God to keep me in line with what I'm supposed to do. That's what David needed. He needed to see what he was doing compared to somebody else. Soon as he heard about the rich man taking the poor man's stuff, that man is evil. He made a right decision. Why? Because he was led of the Spirit. Deep in his heart, he was a man of faith, a man of righteousness, a man of truth. But he had slipped into a pattern of sin. And God showed him through Nathan, the prophet, that you need to look what you did, David. And then when it hit him like a ton of bricks. But he was fixed from that moment on. He got fixed. God had to change his disposition.
That's right.
And he turned around 180, wrote one of the best Psalms you ever want to read. Psalm 51 talks about a contrite spirit and a broken heart. See? And he said, I know you won't despise that, boy. And so he cried out and poured out his spirit before the Lord. And so we need holy pressure. You know what else? Fellowship with the church. Other people who are like-minded, on the same path, trying to get ourselves together. I don't judge anybody. I don't care what you're doing. You need to hear the word.
Amen.
If you keep hearing it, God's going to bless you, and you'll be surprised how he turned it around. And what kind of blessing he'll pour out on your life. You will be surprised. I'm going to just tell you like he said, test me on this. Show up and hear the word. Why? Because faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. When you hear the word, God gives you faith. He strengthens you. He empowers you. He fills you with his spirit. He motivates you to walk in the truth. That's holy pressure from God. And the environment, that's why he said, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Come together, because we need to hear the word.
Yes, we do.
He ain't done with us yet. But you know what? I want to tell you this. This is good news right in here in the midst of all this. What? If he started to work in you, guess what?
He'll finish it.
He's going to finish it.
Yes, he will.
Because I wouldn't have never started it. So I wasn't going to finish it. You know what you can say? That's why that song, I'm on the right road now. I fixed it up with Jesus. I'm on the right road and I'm not turning around. My mind is fixed and my heart is fixed. My mind made up. What that song say? See that? And I'm on the road. And I'm going to stay on the road. Because I know at the end I'm going to see God's face. And he said, I'm going to finish the work I started in you. So if you're on that road, just trust. No matter how I feel, I might feel on the edge when I hear a message of you know, a little conviction is good for us. And so look at this now. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says this: knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. When we get up, guess how many are getting up all together? Everybody. He said the last going to be first and the first going to be last. That means we come here at the same time. You know why that is? Because God is eternal. Time is something he made for the benefit of men. There will come a day when time won't be anymore. That's why the last are going to be first and the first are going to be last. They all come in together. That means there's a dead heat come in a time. Last and the first come at the same time. That's what it said about Abraham. He took up his feet into his bed and breathed his last. That he looked forward to a kingdom whose builder and maker was God. See, because I already know where I'm going. So I'm not worried about it. God already showed him, because he had to take his own son to the very place where later on, 42 generations and 33 years, he would take his son and he would be crucified right at that spot where Abraham took Isaac and laid him up on the altar and was about to plunge a knife into him, because God told him to do it. See, now you're talking about trusting God. This is the son I had to wait 100 years. And now he's almost grown, and you say, put him on the altar. Wow. But you know what? Abraham learned, I'm going to do whatever God said. And Isaac learned it too, because he was raised in the truth from a child. He said, Father, I see the wood, I see the fire, but where is the lamb? Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. Isn't that awesome?
That's right.
Guess who that was on the cross? God himself. God the Son.
Yeah.
Taking up the penalty for our debt, our sin, and our debt that we owed him. And so we see here Paul saying, knowing that the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also, if we're going to be raised by Jesus, he's going to present us all together. For all things are for your sake. Whatever stuff you're going through, not only the good things, all things, everything you're going through. Yeah. Lord, must I be threatened with my employment? Mm-hmm. Yes, if I need you to be threatened, stand tall, trust me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to move you up higher.
Yeah.
I had a dude threaten me. I'm just going to digress for a second at my job. He had me in a temporary position, giving me a promotion, which I had to be on trial for 6 months. This was some time ago. Then while I was in that position, he took 9 more people who were under me that I was equal to and elevated them to lead people, which were, you know, a higher position with more money. Then after the 6 months, he said, you didn't make it. Go back and put me under the 9 people.
Wow.
Like, what? What you mean I didn't make it? You know, I could have went off. I said, well, I'm glad you didn't do this 10 years ago. What?
Yeah.
And you know what I did? I said, okay, well, that's up to you. I'm going to start writing some letters and talking to people about that because that doesn't seem right. What did I do wrong? I don't have to tell you.
Wow.
I'm the boss. Just get down there with these 9 people that was your equal, and they're going to be over you now.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I end up with his office and his job before it was all done. And I didn't cuss. I didn't do nothing evil. I end up with his office and his job. I just kept on holding on to God's hand. See, and he made my enemy my footstool. Sure did. That's what you got to do. Hold on. Just because it gets bumpy down the road, he said, I'll be with you always. And he knows what you're going through. So, spiritual perception of godly correction, what that humbled me, taught me some more stuff about God that I never would have known if I had not went through that. But going through that strengthened me. You know, made me a better person. Thank God. So Paul says here, notice this, for which cause we faint not. What you're going through might cause you to give up. That's what that faint means. Or to fall out. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. That's a spiritual feeding. God is building you up every day, day by day. The outer man is getting older, is getting more this, that, and the other as far as health, and getting around a little tougher now, and losing a few more hair off my head, and so on and so forth. All that, we see that the outward man perishes, but the inward man is being renewed. Day by day, God said, I'm strengthening you where you need to be strong. And I'm going to deal with the other problems too, you're going to notice. Before I'm through, I'm going to raise you up, and I believe we're going to be in the glorified body is going to be awesome. He said, I'm going to wipe every tear from your eyes. There will be no more sorrow, no more grief, no more pain. For the former things have passed away. And behold, I make all things new. See what I'm saying? So he has promised to fix that too. Even though the outward man is perishing. But the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now notice how he summarizes verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Wow.
And that's glory to God.
Wow.
That he can use us in that way. And it's producing an eternal weight. What is light right now and only for a moment is producing that which is exceeding and eternal, and it is a weight of glory. It's going to be more. I mean, an ounce over here is 1,000 pounds over there. See what I'm saying? Every little thing you do here will amount to great glory in heaven. Notice this, while we look not at the things which are seen, the stuff around you in your life every day, but the things which are not seen. What is that? The stuff God promised. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're going to pass away.
Yes.
But the things which are not seen are eternal.
Mm-hmm.
See that? In the spirit, understand. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to have a blessing here.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that. It just means I'm not stuck on what I have here.
Right.
I'm not. My mind is not affected to the point where I can't be growing spiritually because of stuff here. See? So I'm going to use my stuff and circulate it back through my spiritual bank account so God can give me more increase to preach more and reach more people.
Right.
See here, everything we go through, good, bad, or ugly, is working out for our good or our betterment as we grow more deeply into becoming less who we used to be and more of whom God wants us to be, so that we become able to look forward by faith at the eternal and not be wrapped up in temporal things in this life.
Right.
See, that's what's happening. That's why we need spiritual perception to receive godly correction.
Yeah.
And you get that just by hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. God will make it where you can go through more stuff and be able to stand up even better. You know what? It preaches volumes to people when they see you going through a tough time and you don't blow it and you don't lose your cool. Now, you know, I have to say I've been guilty of times when stuff did get tough and I did have a blowout.
Me too.
But you know what happens? I go back just like David did and I repent.
Yeah.
And I say, God, you took me through everything else I've been through. All the stuff I've been through didn't take me out. I can say that about you.
Wow.
You here because whatever you went through,
yeah, Lord,
it didn't take you out.
Yeah.
You know what it did? It made you stronger.
Yeah.
You're stronger now than you were before.
Yeah.
And you went through whatever you went through, all the trials and difficulties, whatever it is, it made you stronger.
Right.
And more spiritual. If you're his child.
Yeah.
Paul said this. He says, tribulation worketh patience, and patience hope. In Romans chapter 5, Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. John 16:33. But be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Have you had any more tribulation than he had? Imagine that. You know, we can't even say that, can we? So this transition from being fleshly to being spiritual is bolstered by our increase in the knowledge of the word. That's why we got to hear the word. Faith comes by hearing. And the leading of God, the Holy Spirit, from within us, who is training each of us to acquire more of the qualities of Jesus, who perfectly pleased God, his Father, every second of his life, think about that for a second, to attain for us the manifestation of all the promises of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Jesus did.
That's what he did.
He was never unsatisfactory.
Wow.
Before he took on flesh, he was face to face with God the Father in the Godhead.
Yes.
God was pleased with him.
Yes.
Before he made anything, Jesus said, make me a body, prepare me a body, and I'll go down and redeem the world. We talked about that a couple of lessons back. He prepared a body for his son. Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, in verse 4, when the fullness of time was come, let me write it the exact second, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, born under the law. Why? To deliver us from the curse of the law. The law is a curse only because nothing wrong with the law. It's perfect, holy, just, and good. But it can only condemn somebody like me.
All it does is condemn.
See what I'm saying? Why? Because I can't keep it all. If I can keep it all, then I can be saved by it. If I can't keep it all, James 2:10 says if we offend in the law in one point, then we're guilty of the whole law. In other words, you break the law in one spot, I throw the book at you. So God knew we couldn't keep it. And he wanted to bring it in to sacrifice. So he did. And he had already planned that before time began, that he would send Jesus into the world. Right now we say 2020, that's 2,020 years ago he was born. And we preached the gospel. He came through, and the cross is the most unimaginable thing that you can imagine to me. I can't think of anything that would be a bigger test than to have people spit on you. You're God. You're veiled in a human body. You came here to save with all good intentions. And these people hated you. They spit on you. They railed against you, talked about you, found fault with you, pressed the law against you, who said you were no fault, no fault, no fault. Three times found him innocent because the law was right. And they said, Pilate, if you let him go, you are no friend of Caesar. We're going to turn you in to Caesar. And he washed his hands. He even bought another snook Barabbas out here, who all y'all know this is the worst dude in town. And put him next to Jesus. Which one shall I let go? Barabbas or Jesus? He thought, oh, I'm getting out of this. And what they said, give us Barabbas, but crucify him.
Jesus.
Wow! Pilate thought he was going to get off this hook. But I bring this Barabbas up here, he's awful. Everybody know he's a snook. They going to say, let Jesus go. That's what he thought. But it was written in the book. No, won't happen like that. Why? Because he said, for this cause came I into the world to give my life a ransom for many. So he went through with it. Human reason tried to do everything it could. Pilate was trying to squirm out of it. His wife even had a bad nightmare. Oh, it don't have nothing to do with Jesus. She came told him, leave him alone. But he had to wash his hands, and Jesus was crucified. He did that for you. So he represents you before God without a spot or a wrinkle. And he declares to the world, all you have to do is believe in him, and you shall not perish. You shall have everlasting life. So we want to ask right now, let's pray in the name of Jesus. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we lift up the people under the sound of my voice. Lord God, if there's anybody here who has never considered what you did, you allowed your son to take that grisly cross and be crucified and present before the whole world an unimaginable miracle beyond our understanding. Father, it's very difficult to think that a man could endure the pressure of the cross, the beating, the flogging, the humiliation, the stripping of his garments and all of that, and not to mention the pain and the disgrace, that he would be there lifted up on a cross between two thieves to humiliate him and shame him even more. But then he took all that, and the word said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. That means he perfected everything and fulfilled it all. And he did it for me, each of us. He did it for my sin.
My Lord.
He did it so I can have a right to the tree of life.
Thank you, Jesus.
He did it so that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Somebody in this room is understanding that right now, God.
My Lord.
In the deep recesses of their soul.
Yes.
So, Father, we ask you to save them right now.
Right now, Lord.
Fill their hearts with the Holy Spirit.
Please.
Bless their mind with spiritual understanding.
Yes.
Help them to realize that your word chastens and corrects us.
Yes.
And brings us back into alignment with what we ought to be. And that even the best have failed. But Father, we pray you to strengthen everyone here. We all need you, Father, to do the next step that we need to do in the Spirit, Lord God. So bless us to be better husbands, better wives, better friends, better sisters, better brothers, better neighbors. Oh God, bless us even to have the heart and the mind to forgive our enemies. Oh God, help us to see them in a pitiful state like you do without Christ, that they might be saved. And Father, we pray you settle everything in this room with everybody under the sound of my voice. Father, you said, whoever believes in your son and that you raised him from the dead, that was the great victory when he got up out of the grave. Even when all the fury of hell and all the fury of his enemies had been poured out on him, it didn't kill him. He said, it is finished. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. A willful submission of the perfect life that you require for the salvation of whoever believes in him. Help them right now, Father.
Help them.
To know that they're saved right now. If they believe on your son, and that you promised to fill them with your spirit, and that you would do the rest of the work. If you began the work, you will finish it. And so, Father, we thank you right now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all the saints said together,
amen.
Give God a hand praise. Hallelujah.